want to say, as always, I appreciate the wonderful invitation, or welcome, that is, the invitation to the tent tonight to minister to you. I appreciate you being here with us. I thank God for every one of you, and I thank the Lord for the good things that David says. You know, everybody likes good things said about them, and I thank the Lord for that. But after all, you know, that's the way he feels about me. And I thank God for David. But I can assure you that I'm less than the least of any of you here. As Paul said, I'm less than nothing. I really am. But I'm very grateful to be a mouthpiece for Christ in the earth. And I'm thankful that he has given me a message. He has placed something within my heart. For this, I'm very thankful. I'm very grateful. And I appreciate so very much the wonderful things that God has shared with me, the way he has enlightened my heart and my mind. I'm so grateful. David, did you take notice of this? Okay, you can be seated. You've come from night to night, and you've come, some of you. This is your third trip. You've been very reverent. You've been real courteous, and you've had a real good spirit. Every night that I have come under the tent, including tonight, I felt a wonderful spirit. Haven't felt an ugly spirit, a fighting spirit, a resentful spirit. You know, being on this end, being under the guns a lot of times, I have opportunity to really look at things and really search things out. So, being here, looking at you, through Christ, I'm able to discern the spirits out in the audience. And it's real good. I go to a lot of places, and I'm no more than under the tent for just a few minutes before I pick up all kinds of spirits. But it has been real wonderful here. We've had some spirits under the tent that wasn't sanctified by any means. But they didn't give us any problems. It was more or less the run of the mill, you know, where people were just... Well, Paul said, I would not have you ignorant, speaking of spiritual things. And there was just people that was just spiritually ignorant. And I don't mean that in any way as to an exaltation, you know, or a know-all on my part. But I mean in real simplicity, they were just spiritually unlearned so far as spiritual things. And they didn't realize what they were doing. So usually people like that don't give me any problem. If you'll notice, when Jesus was preaching, he didn't have any real problems out of the general run of people, but it was religious people that caused Jesus problems. See, the general run of people didn't have anything to defend. They knew that they were worldly. They knew that that was their kingdom, and that's what they were doing. And they figured that they had, you know, their reason, that they had their way of life, and, you know, Jesus had his way of life, and they didn't bother with Jesus. They didn't bother with Paul until the religious sect of people got in between the worldly people and Paul, or the worldly people and Jesus. And then they began to stir things up. You know, they had something to defend. And they were trying to defend their religious convictions and their way of life. And so they wanted Jesus put to death. And even Pilate, he begged for the life of Jesus, but they wouldn't listen to him. See, and the religious people gave Jesus a lot of problems. And Jesus said, my war is with those that stand at the door and they won't go in. And they hinder those that are coming. And that's the way it is today. See, the war is with that in-between class. That's where the war is. You can reach the people of the world. And you might differ with me on that. You might say, well, I don't agree with you, Brother Pike. But then what do we do with the parable? Well, as Jesus gave a parable, and it was said that two sons was told of the father to go do a certain thing and was commissioned. And one said, I go, Father, but he went not. Then the other one said, I will not go, but the Bible said he repented and went. So then the question was asked of the twain, which did the will of God? And it was said that he that said he would not go, and yet he repented and did go. So then he was the one. So then the war is with the religious people. It is the middle wall of partition. Those that get in between. That's where the war is. And so then, when Jesus spoke of this great thing that took place, he said, I say unto you that the harlots and the drunkards go in before the church people, before the religious people. He said, because your religious people say that you would do my will, but you didn't do my will. You went out and done the things of the world. He said, but the worldly people said, we will not do your will. And yet when they saw how beautiful heaven was and the great things of God, they repented of their sins and forsook their harlotry and their way of life and began to try to serve me. So he said, even to the Jewish people of that day, the Pharisees and the scribes, he said, therefore the kingdom of God is taken from you and given to another nation, even one that will bring forth fruits. And you know, folks, that's how the Gentiles got in. That's why you and I have a chance today. And you know, I'm happy over the situation. I'm not upset at the Jews, and I'd like to see them have eternal life. But on the other hand, I'm thankful that God considered you and I. And in that he did, I'd certainly hate to see him turn away from us and say to us the things that he said unto those people and then leave us. But you know what? Unless we do right, there's coming a day. And that day is close at hand. So I want to welcome you here to the tent tonight. I thank God for every one of you. I appreciate you coming. I thank the Lord for you, and especially my minister brothers. I thank God for you. I'm glad to see you here tonight. There's numbers of ministers that comes to our meeting, and I know that there's numbers of ministers here tonight. I'd like to know your names, and I'd love to meet you personally, but I don't get a chance to do that very often. But I would like to. I see Bill and a couple of ministers that's here tonight. They have been with us before. And I think Bill's, I don't know where he's from. I have to stop and think. But anyway, I'm glad for him and these ministers that are with us tonight. And I'm sure that there's others. Hope Brother John's still here with us tonight. I see Brother Al Gonzalez, our Mexico missionary back there. Brother Smallwood, I see him here. And some of the others that I don't know, I'm sure that you love the Lord and you're here tonight to try to do something for Jesus. And we welcome you. And if you're a minister, as I said last night, we not only give honor to you, but we give double honor to you in that the Bible tells us that they that labor in the gospel are worthy of double honor. So then we not only would recognize you as to say by voice, but to have you here with us to where everybody else could see you, this would be our delight because you're laboring in the gospel. So then I thank God for you. Every one of you, I appreciate you being here. I think about a lot of things through the day. Seems like through the night is when I have to talk to God and when I can get in touch with God. While others are asleep and while they're sleeping, and I'm sure that you do the same thing, I have to talk with the Lord because in the daytime I don't get the chance to talk with the Lord as much as I'd like to. Most of the time I try to stay in my room through the daytime and talk with the Lord because I want God to heal you and I want God to save you. And I want to be sure that when I come here, I have the right things to say to you, that it will be the mind of Christ and not my opinion. And I have to spend my time a lot of times through the night talking to the Lord. But during the daytime, if I happen to be out a little bit like I was today, I just stop and think, you know, that I really feel as though I'm cheating on the Lord because the day is growing so dark. And everything is growing so, how can you say it? So bad, just getting so bad until it seems that the only thing that is right is just to stay with God every minute, every hour. Now, I know we stay with Him all the time. We have Him in our heart. And the Bible tells us to meditate in His laws day and night, that we are to cast down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And I believe that we should do that. I believe that in our very thoughts we should shun the very appearance of evil. But I was out a little bit today because, first of all, we had an interview that we were supposed to have with a newspaper. We do that around the country often. And somehow we got crossed up on the time and he came in one place and we were in another. And we were supposed to speak to a minister today. But somehow or another, we just got all crossed up. It's strange, I felt today that I wasn't to communicate with them, but I was going to do it anyway. I thought, well, I don't want to offend them, and there's already an arrangement made, and I don't want to confuse them, so I'll go do it anyway. But the Lord somehow didn't let me do it. And, of course, that troubles me because I love to keep my word. I love to be sure that I keep my word. But I'm thankful to be here tonight, and I'm thankful that you're here tonight, and I'd like to talk to you about some things. You know, I can come here and we can have a good time, and we usually do. We can shout and dance and praise the Lord, or we can do many things. There's many things that we can do. The Bible teaches to praise the Lord in the dance. David praised the Lord in the dance, and then the Bible speaks of lifting up your voice in a shout. And there's many ways that we can serve God and we can worship God. But then on the other hand, the Bible tells us to grow. There is a growth that is needful in the church today. And the Bible teaches that we should grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you know, like a little child, even grown-ups like to do this. When it gets real hot, they love to get out under the hose and just have the cold water just sprayed all over them and just splatter. They love to get in a pool of water and just splatter like a duck, you know. They just love to do that. They love to go down to the beaches and get in the water. And that's wonderful. To shout and splatter around and dance is great. Nothing more wonderful than to have a good time and feel the rain coming down upon the just and the unjust. But you know, there is a time when you get thirsty and you need a good drink of water. You need something on the inside. The rain coming down on the just and the unjust is one thing, but to be able to have water like the camel, when he's fixing to make a trip across the desert, he drinks and he drinks and he drinks, and he stores up. A camel has the way of storing up water, and he just keeps on drinking because he knows he's going to hit those hot, dry places. So he stores up the water. You know, that's the way a Christian should do. You're going to hit those hot, dry places because the Bible speaks of spirits, of evil spirits, fallen angels that wander through dry places seeking rest and can't find it. And those things are going to come around to trouble you. And you've got to cross over that great gulf. And you've got to come into the rest of God and get into the Canaan of Christ. And you've got to come through that great wilderness. And in doing it, as you cross that intellectual world of dryness and that intellectual world of fatigue, and as you cross that world of reasoning and that world of debate and that world of accusation and that world of lust, covetousness, and gullibleness, as you cross over that trying to get to the mind of Christ, folks, you need a lot of spiritual water. You need to be filled up. You need to be ready when you hit those dry places. And when you start wrestling with the devils and the demons, for the Bible said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness, and that in high places, in that the serpent has climbed up into the upper lintel. When you go to wrestle with those things, you know, when you come to that place to go to wrestle, you're going to have strength. You're going to have strength. Jacob wrestled all night at the brook Peniel. He wrestled all night until he prevailed as a prince with God. And it's when you wrestle against those powers and then you prevail over those powers, that is when you become a prince with God. That is when you prove your sonship, and that is when you prove that you have power over all the powers of the enemy, that nothing should hurt you. This is when you are proving that you have the power to overcome death and to overcome sickness and to overcome the powers of enticement that's all around you throughout the land. This is when you begin to prevail as a prince. But if you faint in the day of adversity, the Bible tells us that your strength is small. Therefore, we cannot afford to faint. The Bible said, don't be weary and faint in your minds. For the Bible said, in due season you shall reap if you faint not. So then the battle is in the mind. You serve God with the mind. Isn't that right? You serve God with the mind. And the Bible said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being made in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He didn't try to make himself a reputation, but the Bible said he took upon him the form or the image of a servant, and that he humbled himself to be a servant, even to the washing of the feet, that he might leave us an example of humility, For greatness with humility is true greatness. But if you have greatness and no humility, you have a false greatness. So then the greatness of God showed through the Son of God as he showed his greatness through humility. And we are instructed that the same greatness and wisdom that we're endowed with by his Spirit and works at Calvary should be shown through the spirit of meekness. So then we're not seeking to make of ourselves a reputation, but we're trying to find our way to God, and by his great power and by his might, by his great spirit, we're trying to find our way to God and to the wonderful kingdom of God. You know, there's one thing that we need to think upon, and that is that the kingdom of God is not way off. Before I read tonight, I'd like for you to think upon this. The kingdom of God is not way off. We who are naturally minded, we who are carnally minded, whereas the Bible teaches that the carnal mind is enmity to God, in that it is not supernatural, neither can it relate to supernatural things. God being a spirit, he's supernatural. We need to understand, not being carnal minded, we need to understand that God is a spirit, and that God's kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. And Paul, the great revelator that was sent to the Gentile people to get a bride for Christ, he made the statement, "I would that you were spiritual," he said. "I'd like to speak to you about God. God is a spirit. God is the great light into which no man can approach, whom no man has seen nor can see. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he alone dwells in that light, having immortality." We relate to that great light through Jesus Christ, or through the mind of Christ, the knowledge of God. I'd like to say some things about that during this meeting. So then, being carnally minded, if we're not careful, we will get a human concept of God, and we will get a natural concept of God, and we will find ourselves imprisoned by human reasoning, and we'll find ourselves literally cut off from the real supernatural things of God and the real kingdom of God, and we will place the kingdom of God far from us, and we will make it in such a natural way that we don't see it anywhere in this world, but that we will find ourselves waiting for a great natural display of some spiritual kingdom which will never come in that manner. This is why Jesus told him when he was preaching. He said to a man one time that answered him discreetly, he said, "Thou art not far from the kingdom." And then he preached, "Repent. Repent and receive ye the kingdom of God." Now think about that. He said the kingdom of God is at hand. The Lord and the prophets until John, since that time the kingdom has been preached. And men pressed their way into the kingdom, he said. So he preached that the kingdom of God was at hand. And he said to repent and receive ye the kingdom of God. Notice that now. He did not say repent and enter into the kingdom of God. But he said the kingdom of God is an inheritance. It is something that you inherit. He said, but you will never inherit the kingdom of God by your natural body. He said, for flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. But when they ask about the kingdom of God, he said, the kingdom of God cometh not by observation. You can observe the stars. You can observe the moon. You can observe all things that are around you. But he said the kingdom of God will never be seen like that. For the kingdom of God cometh not by observation, because the Jews were very carnal minded. And they supposed that the kingdom of God should immediately have come, and that he should set up a natural kingdom in the earth. But he told him, he said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom was of Alabama, I would have servants to fight. If my kingdom was of Georgia, I would have servants to fight. If my kingdom was of California, I would have servants to fight. If my kingdom was of Germany, if my kingdom was of Japan to Russia, wherever, America, I would have servants to fight.
But my kingdom is not of this world, Jesus said. So then they were all disappointed because the natural mind seeks after the things of the world. And the Bible tells us all of the Gentiles seek after the things of the world. But he carefully instructed them. He said, don't lay up treasures in this world where thieves break through and steal and moth does corrupt. He said, for wherever your treasures are, he said, your heart will be there also. Therefore, he said, lay up treasures in heaven where thieves don't break through and steal and moth doesn't corrupt. That is, do something in the spirit. Be spiritual. Paul said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revealing, the spirit of revelation, for the kingdom of God is nigh unto you. And I would have you to repent, he said, and inherit this great kingdom of God. Receive this great kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God cometh not by observation, but he said the kingdom of God is within you as an individual. That this great, wonderful, spiritual thing of God, it is inherited by your spirit, and that through the Spirit of Christ. And this great, wonderful kingdom of God is on the inside of you. That is, Christ is the spirit of the kingdom of God. Christ is the fullness of God. Christ is the kingdom of God. And Christ is that spirit on the inside of you. And Christ is the hope of glory within you, beloved friend. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is our or your hope of glory. And it's obvious that he is, because the Bible teaches when he stood on the mountain and he appeared with Moses and with Elijah, he appeared in glory. That glory that he said he must enter into. He appeared in glory. And the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ alone is made heir to the glory of God, not unto seeds as of many, but as the seeds of one, even Christ. So then if I have Christ on the inside, I have a hope of the glory of God. For he is heir to the glory of God, and he alone is heir to the glory of God. All that was in the days of Noah was saved if they believed in Noah. If they related to Noah, if they were Noah's family, all in this day that relates to Christ belongs to God and they're children of God. And therefore, Christ on the inside of you is your hope of that eternal glory that comes from the Father. Without him, you don't have any hope. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes and I want you to think on this. This might sound a little bit foreign, but I'd like for you to think upon it. In the days of Noah, there was only 8 people that were saved. Think about that. In the days of Lot, when the great deluge came again, or when the judgment of God came again, did you know that God cut it right half in two? And there was only half that many that were saved. And one of them turned to a pillar of salt, and 2 of them became harlots. So there was only one in the end, as it was with Noah, in that the family failed. And did you know on the 3rd great judgment of God, when God brought them out of the wilderness into Canaan land, did you know that God cut it in halves again? Think now, he started with 8. The 2nd great judgment brought it down to 4. And the 3rd great judgment brought it down to 2. Only Caleb and Joshua, of them that came out of Egypt. But did you know the great judgment of God, which fell at Calvary, the next great judgment, God cut it in two again. And there was only one, not unto seeds as of many, but as unto seeds as of one. And that one was Jesus Christ, even the Son of God. And he alone today is heir to the glory of God. And everyone that has Christ within them, they have the kingdom of God. I want to read just a little bit right here. I read some from this last night, but I want to read a little bit more from it tonight. Notice first of all in Corinthians, in the 15th chapter, in the 21st verse, for since by man came death, by man also the resurrection of the dead. Think on that now. Since God did not send death, since God had nothing to do with death, since man is to blame for death, therefore, since death did not come by God, and since God has nothing to do with death, and since death is God's enemy, and God says, I have no pleasure in death, so then because death came by man, God determined that the resurrection also would come by man. If death came by man, then so came the resurrection by man. And he tells us in his word that there's going to be a mystery in the 51st verse. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Well, that is, I show you a mystery. We shall not all die, but some of us is going to bypass the grave. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all die, but some of us is going to bypass the grave. Now, why are we going to bypass the grave, beloved friend? Because we're going to come to the place to where we realize and where we recognize that God has no pleasure in death. We're going to come to the place to where we realize that God is not the friend of death, that death is God's enemy, and that God has never had any pleasure or any delight in his creatures dying. It does not please God for man to grow old. It does not please God for man to be sick. It does not please God for man to be in poverty. It is not the will of God. It is not the plan of God. It is not the desire of God. God has never had any desire of poverty for man. God made man and put him in a garden, a beautiful garden. And God made man and gave him the desires of his heart. And God gave him health, and God gave him riches, and God gave him the blessings and presence of his own state of being. And God made man great and mighty. And man had the very desires of his heart. The Bible tells us today that if we'll delight ourselves in the law of the Lord or in the word of the Lord, that God will give us the desires of our heart. Do you know that today if I do the will of God, he will make me to ride upon the high places of the earth? He will feed me with the heritage of Jacob. And the Bible tells me that the blessing of the Lord will make me rich and will not add any sorrow. Do you realize that it's God's plan today to bless you and to elevate you and to lift you up and to make you great and mighty in his sight? Do you realize it's God's plan tonight for you to be healthy and whole and to have the blessings of God and that you can go out and testify to the world and say, see what Jesus has done for me? Did you know it's God's plan and program for you, beloved friend, that you can go out and testify and tell the world of your health, tell the world of your strength, and tell the world of your blessings? God blesses in a threefold manner. Man has to have a threefold blessing. There's no way that he can be complete in life unless he has that threefold blessing. And God blesses him in a threefold manner. And that is, I would above all things that you be in health, number one, and that you prosper, number two, even as your soul prospereth, number three. I've come, Jesus said, that you might have life and that you might have it more abundant. And the word abundant means filled up and overflowing. Not only abundantly, but on eternal basis. I want you to have a filled up, overflowing life, and I want you to have it on eternal basis. I want you to have this life. What do I want you to have? I want you to have health. I want you to have prosperity. I want you to have spiritual security. I want you to have this. But friend, you cannot have health and financial blessings or natural blessings in this life and be secure without having soul prosperity. I would that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospereth. I don't want your prosperity to exceed your soul prosperity. I would that you prosper in the natural. I would that you be in health and the physical. I would that you do this as your soul prospers in the knowledge and understanding of Christ. So then he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these other things shall be added unto you. For I gave you my blessings. I made you in my image. I gave you everything else to go with those blessings. For the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. So then I gave you all of those wonderful things, all because you desired me. But in the day that you left me, you left your blessings. In the day that you left God, you left life. You can go after the things of the world. All of the Gentiles seek after the things of the world. You can go to get the things of the world. You can go after the things of the world. But if you go after the things of the world, then you're going to lose your blessings. Because these things are under a curse. These things of the world are under a curse. I say this again. The Bible said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is of the world is the pride of life and the lust of the flesh. And the world and the lust thereof passeth away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So then someone would say, Brother Pike, but the Bible tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. See, to redeem the world and to them that believe that they should not perish but have eternal life. That is very true. But God so loved the world, as I said the other night. He so loved the world as it was when he made it as the beautiful garden. When he made it as the garden, he loved the world. Because the garden was pure and the garden was radiant and the garden was glorious. And God so loved that world that was without sin. But when the world fell into sin, the curse came over it. And God said, don't touch the world. Stay away from the world. Come out from among them. Be a separate people. Someday I will restore the things of God. Someday I will lift the curse. And someday the great millennium will come in and the great world again will be glorious. And those that love God will be able to rule and reign with him and live in this wonderful, glorious Eden. But at this present time, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things that are in the world, I will gradually add them unto you, and I will bring them through the filter of God. And when they're brought through the filter of God, they will be pure, and they will belong to you, and they will not be contaminated, and they will not cause you heartaches, and they will not bring you death, and no one will be able to take them away from you. Think on it now. The Bible said riches gotten by labor shall increase. The Bible tells us that if you get riches deceitfully, you'll be cut off in the midst of your days. In the end, you shall be a fool. So then when God gives riches, he gives it with the blessing, because the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. So then God tells us not to love the world in the condition it's in, but to withdraw from the world, not to be a friend of the world. For to be a friend of the world, the Bible said, is to be an enemy to God. If you're in the world will love you. For the Bible said the world loveth its own. But he said, come out from among them. Be a separate people. Touch not the unclean thing. Then I'll receive you, saith the Lord. Folks, you can't mix light with darkness. Again, as I said last night, what is darkness? Not as this light that we behold here. But darkness is intellectual reasoning. The darkness is the powers of the knowledge of the world. The powers of constraint that rule over you, that enslave you. But what is light? It is the mind of Christ. It is the revelated way of God. It is that beautiful life of liberty and freedom. It is that that breaks the yoke to set you at liberty to where you can have the threefold blessing of God. And that is, I would that ye should prosper even as thy soul prospereth. If you have a soul prosperity in seeking the kingdom of God first, if you're going after the things of God first, if your soul prospereth, then seek ye first the kingdom, and all of these things shall be added unto you. I will take them out from under the curse. Now listen, the world doesn't like this kind of tutoring. The world doesn't like this kind of preaching. Why is it that the world doesn't like this kind of preaching? Because it brings to naught the kingdom of Lucifer. It brings Satan down. It does away with the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. And Lucifer doesn't like this kind of thing. Lucifer doesn't want the saints of God to rise and take the kingdom. And when I say the kingdom, I'm not just talking about the kingdom of God. We have the kingdom of God, saints of God. But that great hour is here when the saints of God are about to rise and take the kingdom to this world. This is what the devil got upset with Paul about. This is why he got upset with Moses. And this is why he got upset in the days of Jesus. They said that Jesus is going to change the law. That Jesus is going to change the customs. And said that Paul has come here and turned the city upside down. And there was the prophecy of a son being born. And the government was going to be upon his shoulder. God was going to correct things. And things were going to be straightened out. The devil doesn't want the saints of God to rise up. But beloved friend, God's people is rising up in this hour. There's nothing that can stop them from their victory. For the Bible said they'll rise and take the kingdom and possess it forever and forever. So then God has made the world for you. He's made all of the things in the world for you. And he wants you to have them. But he wants you to run them through the filter. He wants you to have the blessings. But first, he wants you to seek the kingdom of God. This is what's wrong with some evangelists. Some evangelists see the beauty of the ministry. And they see the money and they see the fame and they see the popularity. See, and they go to running after those things. But they don't realize that that's wrong. The thing you need to do is seek God. Follow Christ. Go after the Lord. And then God will add all of the things that you need. God will give you all the blessings that you want. God will help you. God will strengthen you. Any church body, any church organization that's willing to humble themselves before God and fast and pray and be filled with the Spirit of God and put away unrighteousness from them, God will bless that church and God will magnify that church and God will lift that church up to where everybody around will know that God is in that church. The Bible said the fame of Jesus spread throughout the land. Even his critics was part of his promotion. Even his critics were some of his greatest promoters. And so then his fame spread throughout the land. Now I know that we don't suppose that worldly gain is godliness. The Bible said from such turn away. Because you see a great thing out there that's fabulous and financially prosperous. That does not mean it's God, neither church nor industry. It doesn't mean that God's in it. But there's one thing about it. If God is in a thing, it will prosper. Because the Bible said, whatever the man doeth, it shall prosper. I've seen people, you know, say, Brother Pike, I'd love to know what I'm supposed to do in life. Am I supposed to be a painter or a carpenter or an office worker or some celebrity? Or am I supposed to be an entertainer? Or what am I supposed to be? So I want to prosper. I want to know what I'm supposed to be. I said, number one, you're supposed to be a Christian. That's number one. And I said, my beloved brother, sister, I've said to them that if you have God, it doesn't make any difference what you choose in life. The Bible said, whatsoever that person does, it shall prosper. For God shall bless them and they will prosper because God is promoting them. And beloved friend, when you promote Christ, and when you lift up Christ, when you talk like Christ and look like Christ and live like Christ and dress like Christ or his desire, then you're promoting Christ. And when you are not afraid and you stand up boldly and courageously and have the perseverance to press on, you will promote the kingdom of God and God will promote you. And God will lift you up and God will magnify you because you're exalting the Son of God, which is the apple of the Father's eye. It stands the reason that if a man had a great industry and he put some of you to work, that those that stood behind his product, those that praised his product, those that promoted his industry, those that was concerned about his welfare, those that wanted to see him prosper, and those that wanted to see that great industry go forth, it stands the reason that the man that owns that industry would put his eyes on you, and you would be one that he would raise to the top of the ladder. Isn't that right? So then tonight, God wants you to prosper. But how do we get our prosperity? How do we lose our prosperity? Why is it that some saints are not prospering? I've heard people say, well, Brother Pike, I don't have anything because I give it all away. Don't get upset with me, beloved friend, when I say this. Don't lie against the truth. No man has given everything away and has nothing because he has given everything away. Did you know that would break the Holy Scriptures? But the Bible said, give and it shall be given unto you. If you sow sparingly, you shall reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you shall reap bountifully. Brother, when you give to God, you're not going to go broke. You're not going to get poor. You're not going to be cast down. Why, even the little widow couldn't even do that. She gave and God gave back to her. When you give to God, God's going to give to you. If you give to God in prayer, if you give to God in fasting, if you give to God in your finance, if you give to God in your time, God's going to give back to you. God's going to give you his substance. God's going to give you his time. God's going to give you his blessings. God's going to give you his power. Come on, folks. God will give to you the same way that you give to him. Draw nigh to God, and the Bible said God will draw nigh to you. Magnify God in your life, and God will magnify you to the people. He said to David, David, you're sitting out here on the hillside, a little shepherd boy, a little nobody. You're sitting here while the others are out there, and they look like some great, mighty men. But David, is going to come a day, it's going to be a hard place. There's going to come a pile of opposition. There's going to raise up a giant on the hillside, and nobody's going to be able to face him. He's going to be so bold, he's going to be so courageous, that the entire armies is going to shake and tremble in fear. But David, stay where you are. I want to build courage in your life. Stay where you are. Don't run after the world. Don't look for fame and popularity. Just be faithful to your cause, David. Stay at your post of duty. There's coming a day when I'll call for you, David. Be humble. Stay where you're at. God kept him there, and one day God moved upon a bear to come up, and he caused that bear to come up in the midst of David's flock, and he caused that bear to growl and snarl. But God prepared David's heart to take courage, and the more David thought about his little sheep and thought about his little flock, the more that David took courage, and the more that David thought about that bear robbing him of his flock and tearing his little innocent sheep, the more he took courage. And God prepared his heart until David rose up with great courage and went forth and slew the bear. Hallelujah. Can you imagine what a little shepherd boy felt like having a victory like that? There he was, a little shepherd boy. And he had a testimony. My, what a testimony he had. Can't you imagine when he went back to the village, or when the other shepherds come, what a testimony he had as he stood there and said, I killed a bear. Hey, that'd be a pretty good testimony for us, wouldn't it? Ain't a man sitting here but what he wouldn't like to have that kind of courage. But David had a testimony. Beloved friend, listen. When the devil comes, don't run. Don't get afraid. When the shaking comes and you have a little pain, you have a little problem, something goes wrong in your body or in your home, don't grab yourself and say, oh my God, I've got cancer, I'm dying. Don't run over to some intellectual fellow that's got a doctor's degree, that the Bible said the children of this world are taken into captivity at the will of the devil. And you run over there and he says, yes, you got cancer. Too bad. The devil jumps up and down and says, there he goes. That's one of them. See, don't do that. I'm not speaking against medical cure. That's good. That's fine. Medicine does good like a merry heart. That's fine. But I'm speaking of the children of this world. Remember, we are sons and daughters of God. I know there's some good Christian doctors and good Christian lawyers. I've met them. Got some friends. But I'm speaking of the kingdom of God. David sat on the hillside. He stayed there. And one day, God prepared the heart of a lion. And this lion began to creep out. And he began to come up on the flock. And as this lion began to come up on the flock, God moved on the heart of David again. God was preparing David for the great occasion. So God moved on the heart of David. And David began to think about those innocent little sheep. And there the great and mighty Spirit of God began to move upon David, as it did in the days of Samson. David rose up with courage. And David met the lion. And David slew the lion. And wrestled the little one out of the lion's mouth. And oh, what a testimony he had then. Glory to God. He could really shout and praise God. He could say, David, the little shepherd boy, glory to God, I killed a bear. I killed a lion. I didn't back up. I killed him. Hallelujah. Not boasting in David, but in the Lord. You say, where do you get that, Brother Pye? Because one day God sent him on a mission. And God took him over to the front line. And there the giant stood on the hillside. And everybody shaking and trembling. And the giant day by day hollering out, send me a man that'll fight me. Send me a man. I'm a champion. Send me a man that'll fight me. If you've got one over there in Israel, send him over here. Standing out there, a great, big, huge fella. Standing out there. And nobody would fight him, even Saul, great big fella. Saul wouldn't go out there. And that giant stood out there day after day, and one day David came by. And when David came by, he listened and he heard that chant on the hillside. And he heard the fella call out, and he said, send me somebody to fight me. I challenge the armies of Israel. And David said, who is that uncircumcised Philistine that I hear hollering out over there? Come on, folks. Glory to God. He didn't shake and he didn't tremble. Why? He had met a bear. He had met a lion. That voice didn't mean nothing to him. If you'd have been on that hillside and you'd have heard that lion roar. You know, you can get down in the canyon and hear a lion roar, and it looks like the whole mountain trembles. David had heard a roar before. It didn't bother him. He had heard the snarl of the bear. It didn't bother him. When that uncircumcised giant cried out, David said, who is that uncircumcised fellow that's standing on the hillside over yonder? How dare him to lift up his voice against the army of the living God? That's where you need to be, folks. You need to stand like a fortress instead of wiltering down and compromising. Somebody come along and they say, what do you believe in? Well, I belong to a church. What kind of church? Well, we believe in the Bible. There you are. Somebody said, well, what do you believe about the Bible? Well, we believe there's a God. You know, and he finally says, well, okay. Somebody else, you know, say, hey, who are you? Well, I'm a son of God. Said, where do you belong? I belong to the church over here on the hillside. What do you believe in? I believe in old time Holy Ghost living. Glory to God. I believe in holiness. The Bible said holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. To think that somebody would be so small in their minds that they would back away from holiness. When the Bible says that God is the Spirit of holiness. That God is the Spirit of holiness. Are you filled with God tonight? Are you filled with Christ tonight? The Bible said without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. You talk about belonging to a church. God doesn't care about the church you belong to. God wants to know if you're holy. He said, be holy for I am holy. He said, be holy in body and be holy in spirit. Somebody says, I'm a believer, Brother Pike. That's not good enough. The Bible said, if you believe there's one God, you do well. The devil believes and trembles. The devils believe and tremble. But you stand up and you say, look, I stand for something. I'm not like a chameleon. I don't change with every color of the tree. I believe in the Word of God. There's but one Word of God. I don't care what church you belong to and what church I belong to. You just stand there and look at him. Look, fella, in your church, if you don't preach holiness, you're going to go to hell. You may be in the Baptist, but you better be a holy Baptist. And you may be in the Methodist, but you better be like John Wesley and the others. You better be a sanctified Methodist. And if you're in a Baptist, you better be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I'm talking about the kingdom of God. I'm talking about having Christ on the inside. I'm talking about living an overcoming life. I'm talking about meeting the birth face to face. The Bible speaks of beasts in this world and brute beasts, some made to be taken and burned. Some of them will come up to you, and the way they roar, you know, you just find yourself melting down. My God, you're just bound. That spirit is so strong on them that you're just literally bound. Rise up. Shake yourself. And say, glory to God. You can roar all you want to. Hallelujah. I don't care how much you roar. I got my slingshot. Glory to God. I got my little sling of faith. And I got it loaded with the word of God. And I know where you're coming from, as the world says. And I'm going to let you have this right between the eyes where it hurts the most. And I'm going to smite the head of the serpent. And I'm going to do away with your old intellectual ability and subject you to the mind of the Almighty God and let you know that I'm a son of God and that you've come to kneel at my feet and know that he's loved me. Somebody say, praise the Lord. David said, who is that uncircumcised giant that's out there shouting against the living God? They said, oh, David, don't you know? Don't you know? And they were trembling and they were tore up and they were nervous. Why, don't you know, David, that's the giant, that's the champion of the Philistines over there. Said, David, we can't do nothing. You know, all hope's gone. Like a track we wrote, all hope's gone. All hope's gone. David said it in as much as, what do you mean all hope's gone? God isn't dead. God has never lost a battle. What do you mean all hope's gone? Oh, but David, you just have to see him. David, if you saw this fella, I said, all right, won't worry about that part. I got my slingshot. I got, you know, as long as you got your slingshot, you don't have to worry. Somebody said, what kind of slingshot fellas was them? The Bible said them left-handed Benjamins down there said they could sling that thing and not miss it a hair's breadth. Glory to God, I tell you, if I could sling a slingshot like that, I wouldn't worry about anybody either. The Bible said them men didn't miss it a hair's breadth. Brother, when you study the word of God and when you pray and you get your sling just right and you get your faith just right and you load it with them little smooth stones of God's word, that little stone that was hewed out of the mountain, you get just right, you get accurate, you won't miss it a hair's breadth. When that devil rises up and roars, when that lion rises up and roars, when that devil snarls at you, you'll just pick that little slingshot out and you'll give it a whirl or two, and you'll turn that little thing loose, and the first news you know, over he goes. Over he goes. Somebody said, what do you mean, Brother Pike? I mean, the Bible says concerning the children of God that no man shall stand before thee all the days of your life. It doesn't matter if it's the king. It doesn't matter if it's the president. It doesn't matter if it's a celebrity. It doesn't matter if it's a murderer. It doesn't matter if it's some great person in the world. You have the power and ability to overcome. The Spirit of God is upon you to make you of a quick understanding. And while he's stumbling around trying to figure out and get his ABCs and 1, 2, 3s together, God's talking to you and you're just like that. Amen. While he's trying to work his little formula that the teacher taught him on the board, the Holy Spirit is saying, do it this way. Just like that, you got the victory. I will make him of a quick understanding. So then David said, who is this man that's causing the trouble? So let me go up there and fight him. And you know how that he was loaded down with everything. The do's and the don'ts and the ritualistics and the first church and what you belong to and whatsoever. The programs and the formalities and the social benefits and mixing the ball games and everything else that you put in the church. David said, but I don't understand this. I'm a shepherd boy. I've never been schooled like that. But oh, David, just think of all the great things that Saul's got to offer. Think of this armor, how great this armor is. But David thought of it like this. Saul, if this armor is so great, why hasn't this armor brought the victory? The other men have this armor. If your program is the right program, why hasn't it conquered the world for Christ? Why hasn't it overcome the opposition, the giant opposition that's prevailing today? So then David throws the armor aside. He said, I don't know but one thing. He said, it's a little slingshot.
He said, I prove this. I've never proved the sword. I've never proved your armor. He said, but I got a slingshot. And he said, I've had a lot of practice with it. And then I proved the slingshot. You know, the Bible said, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. David said, I proved my little slingshot. I'd like to just take this sword if you don't mind. And old David reached and got his little slingshot. Hallelujah. A little shepherd boy with his little slingshot. You know, it's just a little old insignificant fella. And he started skipping and jumping like a lamb, running up the hillside. I believe he literally ran up that hillside. He started skipping and running. You know, somebody said, but I think it was real cautious, Brother Pike, and making sure that he was going to be able to do the job. I don't believe that at all. I believe David was singing, glory, hallelujah. He's a dead man for sure. And he was running and jumping and had faith in God. And I believe he skipped along up there while that giant was shouting out, saying, don't come near me. I'll do this. I'll do that. David was just singing and running along, saying, glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah. Won't be long. Running up there. And when he got close to him, he said, you do a lot of hollering. That's all there is to you. Just a lot of wind. That's all. He said, you talk about what you can do. He said, I've come to meet you in the name of the Lord. And there it went. And down he went. The Bible said, down he went. Brother, I believe when he reached and got that little slingshot, that the angel of God and the Spirit of Christ reached and got that stone and said, shoo. I believe the angel said, don't let it miss at a hair's breadth. And that thing struck him and down he went. And it wasn't long before little brother David was standing over the power of opposition with the great sword in his hand, and off went the head of opposition. Beloved friend, tonight you can face your opposition. You don't have to die with cancer. You don't have to die with heart condition. You don't have to be overcome by poverty. You can stand and be successful in the name of the Lord. God wants you to have that threefold blessing tonight. If you'll seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then the Bible said all of these other things will be added unto you. The blessing of the Lord will make you rich and add no sorrow. He'll make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. He'll feed you with the heritage of Jacob. He'll make all of your beds in the time of sickness. He'll give you the desires of your heart, and whatever you do will prosper. So then, God says to you, rise up. I want to bless you. Seek my kingdom first. And listen, my kingdom is seek ye first spiritual security. Make sure that you got spiritual security, eternal security. And then, beloved friend, when you get eternal security, I'm going to give you physical health to where you can be a real testimony and enjoy your eternal security in this world, in this way. But I'm going to give you a natural security. You know, to really be happy, you've got to have the natural things in life. Cars, houses, home, clothes. And to be happy with those natural riches, you've got to have a physical health to where you can enjoy those natural things. And then to really be happy, you've got to have peace with God and know that you've got eternal security to where you can take the whole entire threefold blessing and live in the earth and enjoy the things of this life and enjoy your physical health and enjoy the spiritual security that God has given to you in Christ. Beloved friend, when you get that body, soul, and spirit packaged together, I'll tell you right now, you're talking about having a jubilee. You're talking about having a jubilee. But I mean, you've got it then. You've got it. Now, you may get your package mixed up, and you might get the first things when it should be the other way around. And you're going to have problems. But if you'll follow the order of Christ, I'll guarantee you the first thing you know, your opposition will be gone. Those old devil thoughts, those old demon powers, that old harassing mind of Lucifer that harasses you with unbelief and with lust and with confusion and everything else, with the thoughts of defeat, unbelief, and whatever, that thing will be gone. And you'll be meditating in His laws day and night, and you'll be thinking upon Christ and all of His paths of peace, and you'll be to one victory right after another victory. I challenge you to try it in the name of Jesus. Somebody said, well, I don't know, Brother Pike. I challenge you to give it a chance. The Bible said, try me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. Have you ever given it a chance? Have you ever tried to believe? Have you ever tried to use your faith? You know, some people have never made any effort to believe God. The Bible said, decree a thing in your heart, it'll come to pass. Ask what you will in my name and I'll do it. He tells us in the book of Mark, He said, if you say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea. And if you don't doubt in your heart, but if you as an individual, you to whom I'm speaking tonight, folks, if you as an individual don't doubt in your heart, but if you believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you say. Are you listening? Have you ever tried it? I've tried it. It works. It works. So you decree in your heart and you say, God, this is mine. This is mine. You should ask what I will, and you know I'm not foolish enough to ask something that's going to be contrary to your kingdom. And brethren, listen. Sisters, listen. Prosperity is not contrary to God's kingdom. Health is not contrary to God's kingdom. And spiritual blessings and peace is not contrary to God's kingdom. Asking for eternal life to overcome death. And I'm going to say more about death as we go along from night to night as to the conquering of death and show you that it really is God's enemy. But all of these things, they are for you, the blessings of God. God wants you to have them. I want you to stand with me tonight. I appreciate your kind attention. And I want you to think on these things that I've spoke of tonight. You can be God's David tonight. You can be God's David tonight. You know why? Because you're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and members in particular. And Jesus is the son of David. He's God's David that will sit on the throne in the millennium. And you're the members of that body tonight. And you can be God's David tonight. You've got the same victory, the same opportunity, male or female, young or old. It doesn't matter. God took people at 7 years old and made kings out of them, great rulers. Isn't that right? God took men like Moses at 80 years old and said, Moses, get ready for your ministry, son. You're just coming into it. 80 years old. You know, somebody said, 80 years old. Man, Brother Pike, I'm ready for the graveyard. No. Said, Moses, 80 years old. Get ready for your ministry, son. I got something I want you to do. I know of a man who was about, I believe he was 70 or 75. My wife was reading about, telling me about it. But this man was about 70 or 75, somewhere along there. And he said that God spoke to him about a ministry. And he said, God said, I want you to be a missionary, a world missionary. And I want you to go out into the world, all the world. And did you know that man took the commission and went out, and in a few years, he became one of the world's greatest missionaries at his age, doing something for God. Oh, my brother, where are you standing tonight? Can you call on the name of Jesus? Can you ask God to commission you tonight? Can you quit worrying about the death clothes? The old grave clothes, can you quit worrying about those things and start thinking about the power of God and the life of God, the eternal blessing of God? Can you forget about the grave clothes and get out there and do something for Jesus? Can you do that? Oh, what a day. What a grand and glorious moment. The fields are white unto harvest, but the laborers are few. It's not that God don't have any laborers and that there is potentiality. But he doesn't have very many laborers in that there's not very many that is utilizing their ability in Christ. But God wants you to utilize your ability. You love the Lord? Isn't God good? He's good all the way. Hallelujah. When something bad happens to us, you know why it happens to us? Because of us. Not because of him. There's nothing bad from him to us. He said, I know my thoughts, that my thoughts are not bad toward you. Why, Calvary ought to let us know that, folks. The Bible said when God was in the flesh, in the body of Jesus, that he went about doing good, healing all that was oppressed of the devil. Isn't that right? Said Jesus did that as a physical being because the Father of God was with him. Isn't that right? I want you to sing a little chorus with me tonight as you please. It's a real privilege to be here under the tent tonight and enjoy the fellowship of you people that have come out to hear the gospel. And it's my thrill and my privilege just to be here and to know that God is real and to know that you've come tonight to worship God. I want you to lift your hands with me. Come on, folks, lift your hands up tonight. The Bible said, I would that men everywhere lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. Don't have any wrath in your heart tonight toward anybody. The Bible said, when you pray, forgive, and if anyone has done anything to you, forgive them. For the Bible said, if you won't forgive your fellow man his trespasses against you,
Your heavenly Father will not forgive you your trespasses. Why do we lift up our hands? When we lift up our hands, it shows Calvary. When we lift our hands up, God sees Jesus hanging at Calvary. It reminds him of Calvary. Jesus said, I have engraved thee in the palms of my hands that I might not forget thee. Or that is, they put the nails in my hands that I might not forget thee, that I might always be in remembrance of thee. So tonight, while we praise God for just a few minutes, let's sing this little chorus. Sweep over my soul, Lord, sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Can you sing it with me? For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Jesus, sweep over my soul. Sing it again. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Sing it with me like this now. For we have anchored our soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Sing it one more time. For we've anchored our souls in God's heaven,
162
of rest,
and 123-134 if you'll come up at this time, Brother Pike will pray for you.
No
more. Hand your prayer card to the usher right here.
And though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Come on, folks, if you want to be prayed for, and I want you to come to the altar tonight. Step out. Come to the altar. You need to give God a chance. This is the hour when God is moving by His Spirit. Don't be slowful. Don't stand back. Be a leader for God and step out front. That's what you need to do. You know, the reason there's problems in the world today is because there's not enough people that's willing to be leaders. There's not enough people that's willing to step out first. Step out and be a leader. You say, but Brother Pike, I'm afraid of what somebody will say. Just think what God's going to think. Think what the angels are going to think. Think what folks are going to say if you don't serve God. Them that are wise in Christ. Them that realize the things of God are here and that the kingdom of God is at hand. Tonight, come on, folks. Step out for Christ tonight. And come on. I invite you to come to God tonight. I invite you to come to God tonight. You need to step out for Christ tonight. I feel the divine anointing of Christ's authority. You need to step out for God tonight. If you're a real Christian tonight, you can come on down. If you're a sinner tonight, you can come on down. You can make a new dedication to God. You need to make a new dedication. Folks, this is that hour of the midnight cry. You need to shake yourself. You need to come out of your intellectual reasoning. You need to make a break for God. You need to prove that you've got the oil tonight. You need to light up your little lantern tonight. That little candle needs to be lit up tonight. You need to make a break for God. A new start for Christ tonight. Come on, folks. There are still people back there tonight that needs a touch from God. There are still people back there that needs a touch from God. There's people back there tonight that need Christ. You need God's blessing tonight. You need God's Spirit tonight. You're not going to be able to make it without God's touch. You need to join that number tonight. You need to be found in that number tonight. When the saints go marching in, we sing that song. You need to be found in that number tonight. Folks, the coming of the Lord is at hand. The coming of Jesus is at hand. Look at these little ones tonight. The coming of the Lord is at hand. God is moving throughout the world tonight. When we go out into the foreign nations, I see God moving. When I go into India, I see God moving. When I go into South America, I see God moving. Wherever I go, I see God moving. God is moving by Spirit tonight. God wants you to come. God wants to reach you tonight, and God wants to help you tonight. I want you to lift your hands up and love the Lord tonight. Lift your hands up and love the Lord tonight. Lift up your hands and worship God tonight. Come on, folks. Let's worship God. Lift your hands up and worship God. Let the Spirit of God come into your heart tonight. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Feel that quickening tonight. Feel that stirring tonight. If you've got that quickening on the inside of you, the Bible said it will quicken your mortal body tonight. Let that Spirit quicken your body tonight. Lift your hands up and love the Lord. Open up your doors and your gates, your everlasting gates, and let the King of Glory come in. Open the gate tonight. Open the door tonight. And let the King of Glory come in. My beloved brother, my beloved sister, what an opportunity. What a great moment. God is looking for you. God is looking for you. God is looking for you tonight. God's got a job for you tonight. God's got a job for you tonight. God's looking for you tonight. Lift up your hand tonight and call upon the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The Bible said call upon him while he's near. Call upon him while he can be found. Hallelujah.
Oh, just remember in God's word how he fed the little bird. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.
Can you do what the song tells us?
Go leave them.
Let's sing it with him, can we? Can you sing it with him? Come on, let's sing it with him. You want to go leave it there tonight? While we're praying for these people. While we're praying for these people tonight, let's worship God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for this little one tonight. May you bless him. May you heal this little body in the name of Jesus. Father, touch this young fellow tonight. Heal his body. Make him well tonight. Lord, touch him in the name of Jesus. May thy Spirit be upon him tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Father, touch this little one tonight in the name of Jesus. Touch this mother. May the Spirit of God be upon her. May she be healed. May the glory of God be here and move in Jesus' name. Father, touch this little one tonight. May thy Spirit, O God, be upon this little one tonight. Father, touch this body tonight. In the name of the Son of God, I want a healing tonight. I want this faith lifted up tonight. Satan, I adjure thee by God. Take your hands off of the sister. I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to do it. Hallelujah. What's the matter? What's your problem?
Of the Lamb. Oh, there is power. Power, wonder-working power, and the precious blood of the Lamb.
Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, I want you to heal the spot. I want this tumor in this throat moved, God. I condemn it. By the name of the resurrection, God's moving it right now. Jesus Christ is me. God, move that. Come on up. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, I want you to bless this little sister. Give her faith tonight. Move by your power tonight. May your Spirit, oh God, do something special in these services tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
How's that? I was just wondering what was wrong. You believe God will heal it? We had a case not too long ago where a man was dying. God healed him right up in the hospital right now. You believe God will heal it? You believe God will heal it? Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, I want you to heal this heart condition. I want you to heal it now, Father. God, break every yoke. Forgive sins. Hallelujah. Forgive my sins. Forgive her sins. Hallelujah. And by the righteousness of the Son of God, I want you to heal tonight. By the righteousness of the Son of God. I feel him healing, don't you? Lift your hands up if you feel him healing. Can you feel that anointing tonight? Hallelujah. Lift your hands up tonight if you can feel the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. You believe God will heal you tonight? Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for the sister tonight. May the Spirit of God come upon her tonight by the righteousness of the Son of God. Glorify your name tonight, Jesus. Hallelujah. In Jesus' wonderful name. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want you to heal the sister. Father, forgive her sins. Deliver her, O God, from sin. May your spirit move. Father, I condemn the spirit, Lord, that's trying to harass this mind and take control of this body. Satan, I adjure thee by God, in the name of the Son of God, take your hands off of her in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Somebody praise the Lord. Lift up your hands and love the Lord tonight. Come on, folks. Let's praise God tonight. God is a spirit. The Bible says that God inhabits the praise of his people. So if we praise him tonight, God will have a dwelling place. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, I want you to heal this brother. I want you to completely heal him tonight. May thy spirit be upon him tonight in a great and mighty way. Satan, I adjure thee by God, take your hands off of the brother. Hallelujah. I feel the anointing breaking the yoke right now. Can you feel that? Can you feel the anointing of God? Have you felt the anointing of God? Lift up your hands. Hallelujah. God, in the name of Jesus, heal. I feel you healing. Praise God. I tell you what, the way I feel the anointing and feel faith up here, you can get healed out there tonight. I feel some faith in the audience tonight. I really do. I feel some faith in the audience tonight. Okay, I believe God will heal. You believe God will heal? You really need God to heal your nerves. You know, Satan's troubling your mind, but if you'll believe with me, I'll guarantee he'll leave you alone. Father, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God.
Somebody touched me while I was praying. Somebody touched me when I know it was.
Come on, folks!
Of Lord.
God's breaking the yoke tonight! Hallelujah! Lift up your hands and love God tonight!
Oh,
hallelujah! Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, I want you to heal the sister.
Somebody touch her.
Touch her in the name of Jesus, Father. By your spirit. You believe God will heal it? You believe God will heal it? I want you to believe with me.
Somebody touch
her. Father,
I know it was the hand of the Lord.
By righteousness, folks, God's care tonight. I feel God in his place tonight. God's care tonight. Hallelujah. God will give you
strength.
You believe God will give you strength tonight.
Somebody touch.
Strengthen these legs tonight. Give strength to them by your righteousness. Glorify your name, Jesus.
Oh, while I was believing.
Brandon, Father, give strength. I feel strength right now.
Brandon.
Hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord tonight. Come on, let's praise the Lord tonight. Let's glorify God tonight.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to bless my sister tonight. Break every yoke by your righteousness, by the righteousness of the Son of God. Oh, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, let's love the Lord tonight. Let's love the Lord tonight. Lift your hands up and praise God tonight. Come on, folks. Let's praise God tonight. Lift your hands up and let's praise God tonight. Hallelujah.
Oh, glory, glory, glory. Somebody touch me. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touch me. Well, I know it was the hand of the Lord. Oh, send down the rain, Lord.
Bless this little one tonight, Father.
Send down the rain,
Lord. Oh, God.
Send down the
light
of rain, rain, rain.
Glory, Jesus.
Send down the rain,
hallelujah, Father. Bless my brother tonight. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Love the Lord. Let's love the Lord. Let's love the Lord. Let's love the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight. Father, touch me tonight. Father, give him that mighty anointing. Father, in the believing hand. Oh, God, give him the battle. Help him in the name of Jesus. Help him in the name of Jesus tonight. Father, touch my brother tonight, Father, and bless him with thy spirit tonight. May the power of God be upon him in the name of Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Can you praise the Lord tonight? Can you lift your hands up? Lift your hands up and praise the Lord. Come on. Lift your hands up. Come on. Lift your hands up. Let's praise God tonight. Come on. Hallelujah. I feel God healing tonight. If you can believe God tonight, God will heal you tonight. If you can believe God right here in the audience tonight, God will do something special for you. Come on, folks. Come on, folks. Let's worship God tonight. Let's worship God tonight. Let's go tonight and worship God. Worship God tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Power in the light of rain.